Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Texans, Browns, Sunday, 9 o'clock. Texans Countdown presented by Modelo in Bud Light Plaza. Come say hi to me and Seth before the game.
Yes, do it.
Yes. Been fun
out
there.
Don't be intimidated by Sean. He's not as angry and surly as you expect him to be.
It's a front. It's a front.
It is, though. I will tell you, sometimes people don't realize this. If we have our headphones on and we're talking to each other, we can't stop the radio show and converse with you right in that moment.
It's a good PSA.
Sometimes people come up and like just start talking to us, and I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of a radio show right now, and I have to finish.
For the life of me, I will never understand people, because it happens when you're out on remote too, like at bars or whatever. People come up and be like, "Hey, man, the Texans in this run game." And it's literally like you're in the middle. Like, it would be rude to do if you weren't on the radio, because you're actually talking to somebody else at the time. That's what the weird thing is.
You're
in the middle of a conversation.
Right. If you were to walk up to two guys just having a conversation in a bar, you walk up and you wait your turn.
Yeah.
You make some eye contact or something. It's really funny. It's one of those things where in life, because if your context clues are screwed up, then all of a sudden, like, you don't know how to function. We're much more simple creatures than we realize. So, like, when sometimes some of the things we've been trained to do and look for aren't there, we don't know how to operate.
Yeah. And just to be clear, we're merely putting that out there so that you don't do that, because it's not the appropriate thing to do. However, we're not mad at you for doing it. As I like to say with stuff like this, it's when people stop doing that could be the bad time. You know, if you're interested in the show and in us and whatnot, and you come up and talk, that's cool. We appreciate it.
A lot of times I walk around with a remote headset on my head just so people will talk to me.
Test people
out. Because I'm lonely. I'm like sitting by myself in a bar with my headset on, with my my broadcast microphone, pretending I'm doing play-by-play or something.
It's a sad visual, my friend.
Just waiting for somebody to... So I put it on, and then I act like I'm broadcasting, hoping that somebody will come up behind me and say, like, "Bleeper in the bleep bleep," you know, like I used to do back in the day.
Yeah.
Old Jameis Winston deal.
No easy way to segue to Deshaun Watson off of that one. So we'll just do it here. Deshaun Watson met with the media yesterday in Cleveland. Overall, I think Deshaun did fine. I don't know that we came away from that press conference any more knowledgeable about where he's at as a person, other than he seems to be really happy to play football again. He laid it out at the beginning of the press conference. When he was thanking everybody, he made it clear, I'm only going to answer football questions today, no legal questions. Here was the very first question he got at the press conference.
Sean, part of your agreement with the league was to undergo counseling and therapy while you were away. What did you learn about yourself during that time, and how do you apply that to now?
I respect your question, I understand, but that's more in that phase of clinical and legal stuff. And, I've been advised to, stay away from that and keep that personal.
I've been advised to not tell you how awesome I am.
I was hoping, man, as I was listening to this press conference, I was hoping for the response I was never going to get on each step along the way. This one, I was hoping that he would go the Dee Haslam route. Remember when Dee Haslam, the co-owner of the Browns, along with Jimmy Haslam, had gotten up, and Dee Haslam at the end was like, "Listen, therapy, it can take a long, long time. This is what you have to realize. It can take a long time in such a way that you could almost read on her face the various loved ones that she's been waiting for therapy to kick in for the entire Like, and so I thought, I was hoping Deshaun would be like, hey, listen, man, I'm not going to lie to you. There's times where I sit and I'll open up the yellow pages to the massage section. That's right. I got yellow pages. And I'll just kind of look and think. But I put the rotary phone down and I don't do the call. It's just because therapy takes a long time.
Takes a long time. Spoiler alert. You're going to hear that audio from D. Haslam sometime later in this show.
Oh, okay.
Well, we do a little segment on Fridays called Five Reasons I Hate You. So it's
good. Oh, I'm excited about
two together. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
She seems like a nice lady who's...
Sure she does, yeah.
Who doesn't...
Sure she's a joy.
She seems like a nice lady who probably didn't have a prenup. And, like, yeah.
Exactly.
It can take a long... Jimmy's working on it, okay? He's down to four mistresses.
Yeah, then there's Jimmy. Here was Deshaun Watson when he was asked, are you going to take any non-football questions at some point?
Deshaun, on August 18th, you said that you wanted to tell your side of the story at some point and that people haven't been interested in listening to what you have to say. So at some point, will you take non-football questions down the line?
Like I said, at this time, I can't address any of that stuff. Who knows what the future holds, but right now I'm so locked in on just basically being the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, so that was Deshaun. Look, Deshaun had a playbook, and if there was anything that even seemed remotely legal or clinical,
yeah,
or reflective, or anything where you were going to have to potentially admit some sort of guilt in this whole thing, he was not answering that question yesterday.
Yeah, and I guess that's where, too, I mean, he still has that outstanding two lawsuits. At least one for sure, and another one that might be a little bit in limbo. But so I guess that there's some validity to that. I think that he could have touched the clinical side, as he framed it, the psychological, the treatment that he has to receive. I think he probably could have addressed that in a way that was very planned and, you know, very calculated, but still that maybe would have lent a little humanity to him, where people might have said, like, okay, wow. Like, because regardless of what you think about his, you know, liability or culpability in the allegations against him, I think it's pretty clear that the dude's life was spiraling a little bit out of control in some ways. Like, could you address that to some degree?
Yeah.
Or, you know, could you somehow at least touch on that? I'm guessing that they just thought it was too rife with potential. You know, anything can be used against you somehow, some way. But that if they wanted to humanize him a little bit, that might have helped.
Yeah, I think so. When that question got asked, Seth, and before he had his answer, as I'm listening to the question, because I was anticipating that question too, I'm like, okay, well, this is an opportunity for him. Like, this question is an opportunity. They're not asking, were you innocent or guilty? They're not bringing up Busby. They're not bringing up the 10 accusers who are going to be at the game. They're not bringing up anything that has to do directly with what happened in those massage settings. They're mm-hmm. merely bringing up what have you learned about yourself through the counseling that you've done. And I'm with you, because you can give an answer. He could have even given an answer where, you know, hey, look, I know I said before, like, I didn't need counseling, but what I learned in the counseling that the league has asked me to do is that it's a good thing. It was a good time for me to reflect on who I am and where I'm at in my life. And then if they started digging deeper on what exactly you learned, then you can go to, well, that's kind of private, man. Like,
who goes on the air and
starts talking about everything they say to their therapist? You know?
And honestly, though, too, like, I think, like, what a lot of, like, guys tend to learn at some point is, okay, like, consent can be some people have kind of wacky notions about consent, and but if you were to start trying to talk about that, if he talks about the stuff that he needs to learn or might have needed to learn for sure, there's no way to get into it without there being a soundbite that's really, really bad.
That's right.
So, or that can be used in a really, really bad way. So I think that's they might have gone through a couple mock press conference here and been like, okay, you know what? Let's strike this. Let's just stick to the very vanilla. Let's just move forward with this.
I think there's a good chance they did that, because he would have normally met with the media on Wednesday. That was the big story Wednesday, is that Deshaun wasn't on the schedule for Wednesday. When the quarterback always does Wednesday press conferences under Stefanski.
If I were a GM, a head coach, or a starting quarterback, I might hire a press conference coach, just to give me to go through before every press conference where I have time to prepare, not for a post game or anything, just go through mock press conferences and get the roughest treatment possible. It's kind of like when you go through a flight simulator. When pilots go through flight simulators, they go through the roughest circumstances possible. So the real world, difficult situations feel like slow motion and easy after that. So the press conference, you'd have to get in there and just have a bunch of just irrationally angry, aggressive reporters that are going to twist your words and everything. And you make it through that, then all of a sudden you get up there and it's just a breeze. Maybe he does that. I don't know.
There's a lot of people frustrated, I think, still with the legal part of the Deshaun saga, maybe even frustrated with discussions about the legal part of the Deshaun saga. I will remind people.
What did we do?
Well, no. I just in general, because Deshaun is back in the conversation this week.
Yeah.
A certain texter has resurfaced, not an individual. I'm saying a category of texter, which is move on from Deshaun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, listen. All right, dude. The Texans are playing Deshaun Watson this week.
100%.
Yeah.
Move on from Deshaun guy has resurfaced. I will remind people that the legalities and the legal part of this saga did give this show its greatest viral moment in show history back in June.
I don't know how many men are out there now that have had a massage that perhaps occasionally there was a happy ending. All right? Maybe there's nobody in your listening audience that ever happened to. I do want to point out, if it has happened, it's not a crime. Okay? Unless you are paying somebody extra or so to give you some type of sexual activity, it's not a crime. And so at the end of the day, that's another thing that would affect conduct. Doing something or saying something or being a way that makes you uncomfortable is not a crime. And so we've had two grand juries find that, and nobody seems to want to listen.
Yeah, so
my phone was in its most active on that particular Friday.
That fell into the category of like, oh boy, if Rusty's job is to get people out of criminal trouble and charges and boffo job on that. But man, as far as potentially validating some of the, at least the other things that people have said about Deshaun, that was a really, really bad job of it by Rusty Harden. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing I learned about the whole legal system between Busby and Harden, it's like something I knew intellectually, but I didn't really understand that. Okay, yeah, the civil process and the criminal process, when it comes to people that live in one world or the other, like Busby in the criminal side of things, there was a lot that he just flat out didn't know or understand. And then likewise, Harden on the civil side of things, there were a lot of things that he didn't know or understand.
Yes.
And it was interesting to watch how that all operated. I feel like now I know if I'm ever either going after somebody or being prosecuted or persecuted for something. Yeah, I'm gonna have two separate. I'll bring in Rusty and Busby.
Just in case.
Rusty on my criminal side of things. And Busby on my civil side of things.
Seth Payne's team of lawyers.
What am I most likely to be indicted for someday? Text line, 713-576-1010.
Yeah, text in. Yeah.
What crime would Seth Payne be most likely to be indicted
for? Oh, I like this category.
Other than killing off the cast of Yellowstone.
That's it. Hey, speaking of psychotic things, this Antonio Brown saga yesterday. Antonio Brown, I think if you hadn't seen the story, Antonio Brown had a warrant issued for his arrest earlier in the week on a domestic violence charge in Tampa. So the Tampa police had this warrant out. And so yesterday, the last couple days, they've spent trying to get Antonio Brown into custody. Yesterday, he, in the afternoon, barricaded himself in his house and the police were outside trying to get him to him to come out and turn himself in.
Based on charges on him against allegations that he had abused his wife, right?
Or
his
mother of his children, baby mama.
Yeah.
Mother of his four children,
Which, so this is another rapidly spiraling out of control situation for Antonio Brown. And I only say it that way because he's had numerous situations like this. It's just that now it seems like he's genuinely untouchable by NFL teams.
Oh, yeah.
Or XFL or USFL for that matter.
Dude, they're, like when you read the story yesterday and you just get a visual in your head, this is something, like I'm looking at this like, okay, this isn't funny anymore. Like this is like, this isn't him posting pictures of him and Giselle on Instagram. This isn't him taking his shirt off and doing jumping jacks and running off the field. He's barricaded inside his house and there's guns in the house. You know,
that's
I'm reading this yesterday, like, okay, this is something that, when you read this stage of a story like this, like a lot of times this ends really, really badly.
Yeah, and I don't, I think that it's been clear for a while that there's something really off with the guy.
Yes.
It wasn't, like, it became clear for a little while. We thought maybe he was just, going back to when he was still with Pittsburgh, it seemed like he might be just trying to act as erratically as possible to force a trade. But then after threatening Mike Mayock with the Raiders, but then after taking a shot at Bob Kraft with the Patriots, jumping jacking his way off the field and somehow blaming Tom Brady for anything that went wrong with him in Tampa, it became pretty clear that, okay, this dude's genuinely a complete whack job.
Yeah. You know, it seemed like he was just trying to act a certain way to get off of the Steelers. But then when he was acting like a whack job with the next three teams he was on in an 8-month period, that's when it became pretty evident he was like a legit whack job. When he was doing it with those three teams he was on in a year after the Steelers.
Yeah, I feel like you saying that this is the situation where you realize there's something wrong with him, Sean. I think you've forgotten that you've realized
it before. I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. I said this is the situation where I realized this could get very dangerous.
Dangerous.
Yeah, okay. This is that it ends badly. No. God, no. You.
Before you thought he was just a fun-loving, affable fellow.
Well, no, I mean, before it was stuff that we in the media could point at and laugh, because it was, like, in the grand scheme of things, he's not harming physically another human being.
But he had allegedly been, though.
I was specific in my stuff. I said the Giselle stuff, and I said the stuff with the jumping jacks. I didn't say, and then that thing where he pulled a mover out of the truck, that was hilarious.
I'm not going to sit here and have you defend Antonio Brown the whole entire show, Sean.
Not on my watch.
Is the thing. let's see. So far, securities fraud for Seth Payne, potential allegations. Seth got arrested for breaking into a sex shop and stealing all the toys. Definitely possible. Murder. Definitely murder. Indicted for being the snot out of other radio hosts. definitely road rage.
Yeah.
There was a time in my life where road rage might have come up and gotten me.
Yeah, why would you possibly think that Seth Payne would murder somebody?
Go die, everybody.
why would you think that?
Someday my defense... I'm going to be the guy whose defense is, why would I say that publicly if I was planning on going out and murdering somebody?
Yes.
You go full Ted Bundy on him.
Just to be clear.
Why would I ever claim that I was going to go Ted Bundy on somebody if I was actually going to go out and go Ted Bundy
Because
on
you
somebody?
Meant Al Bundy. That was the best part of that whole thing.
Well, that's part of the defense, too.
Wrong Bundy.
He's daft, Your Honor.
Oh, man. It's Watson week here in Houston, and we're getting you ready for Texans and Browns on Sunday afternoon. Texans countdown going off at 9 o'clock in Bud Light Plaza, presented by Modelo. Kickoff at noon. Postgame following with me and Clint Sterner. Up next, he's in the building, Brooks Cabina of the Houston Chronicle. What are the biggest things that Brooks is anticipating, not just from the game this weekend, but the spectacle surrounding the game, if there is indeed a spectacle out at NRG Stadium? We'll talk about that with Brooks Cabina of the Houston Chronicle next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Football Friday. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, joined in studio right now by our good friend, the Houston Chronicle's own, and part of our team here at Sports Radio 610, Brooks Cabina, covers the Houston Texans. So, Brooks, a lot of the talk this week is centered around the environment around the stadium on Sunday this week. What are you anticipating? Like, if you, in your mind's eye, what does Sunday look like as we lead up to kickoff in that game?
Well, just by the way that the season has gone so far, I don't anticipate we'll see as much turnout as we have with other games. I think we'll see a scenario where, you know, before the season began, there was still a lot of Watson jerseys around. And I'm sure there'll be some mixed feelings about where the fans are in this. The Browns are a team that, you know, the last couple of years, when I went to Cleveland last year, the fan base has been ignited by competitiveness. I think they travel too. You know, it'll be a situation where, you know, obviously Watson 700 days after leaving NRG Stadium coming back. And Tony Busby has said that, you know, up to 10 of the women who accused him of sexual assault will be in a suite there. So it's going to be a different kind of environment.
You know, there's a part of me that it's not a small part either. I'm kind of glad that this is going to be a sparsely attended football game, because honestly, and I know you've had to deal with this, when you take a very serious issue like sexual misconduct or sexual assault and then combine it with something that's supposed to be a fun recreational activity, which is football, like, and merge those two worlds, there's a lot of things that get kind of tacky when it starts to be fan bases arguing with other fan bases or people defending their favorite athlete or not. And I feel like if this were a packed house, like, there could be a lot of situations, like confrontational situations, that that I'd just rather not see. And I think it'll be better because of that. I think if you sensed, Brooks, in just the feedback you get from readers on the Chronicle or anything else, kind of how the tide has shifted over time with this, with the sentiment towards Deshaun?
No, just in emails that I've received, it's been pretty consistent. I mean, with the stories that I've written, I mean, I arrived in Houston in July of 2021, so in the middle of the legal process. So from there to the point of Deshaun being traded and up to this point, you know, the feedback has been pretty consistent. You know, this week on Thursday, I published a story about sexual assault reform in Texas and the changes that the NFL is looking to make in their policy, because it was highly criticized by the judge they appointed to look over the case. So a lot of this has also been the emails and the feedback that I've gotten are people, and you mentioned this, you know, people who come into the stadium who are normally looking to watch football. There's been an educational process in this too, to understand the complexity of sexual assault litigation and how the process works in Texas, which really set the background and how this played out and why the Cleveland Browns felt comfortable enough to make their decision. So all of that comes together, and when you have a large crowd of people coming in with lack of information, and you know the charge of a fan base, you know that can be a tricky combination.
Okay, so to the football part of this, we know Lovie Smith is under fire right now, and the last couple post game press conferences have not gone well for him. He's come in on Monday and done better in those Monday press conferences, but not significantly so. And more importantly, the team has looked completely overmatched for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Does this game carry added significance because of who the opponent is and the potential for what could happen on Sunday for Lovie Smith?
I don't think so. This is a team that's being judged by its own merit. I do think just individually the McNair family watching Deshaun Watson play in this game, and if he wins, and you know, it go that can be more of a perception that plays into how your team's perceived by your own fan base. So that's more beyond Lovie Smith and the team. There are six players on the team left who played with Deshaun. Mm-hmm. So Lovie Smith was just a defensive coordinator last year whenever Deshaun Watson was just in the background. So the connection that this team has to Watson himself is very minimal. It's a team that's really young and trying to figure out its own problems. And honestly, if we're talking straight up football, the biggest thing that the Texans have a problem with on the field is Nick Chubb, just because they haven't been able to play the run defense all year. And who knows how this offense is going to change with Watson in the mix now. I mean, I don't think it's going to be the same as watching Jacoby Brissett in this game. I think they probably prepared for what Watson can do differently. So how the last couple of games, the Texans being outscored 50-0 in the first half, that just can't happen.
It's unacceptable.
With
yeah.
the team going forward. I mean, the main things Lovie Smith has to prove is that they are progressing, not necessarily winning, but showing progress and competitiveness through the remainder of these six games. And, I mean, if you look offensively, the Browns, even though they have Myles Garrett on the edge, they've been susceptible to the run.
Oh, yeah, big
like,
time, yeah.
They've given up 200 yards rushing this mm-hmm. year. And if Pep Hamilton's going to have any confidence, or if Lovie Smith's going to have any confidence in anybody else in the organization, this is one that you should be in the game with. Yep. This is a game that they even could win. And when you look at how they they can have some success in the run game, which then plays into everything else in their offense. So it'll be interesting to see how Kyle Allen plays in his second game. And if they win, that does go a long way towards whether Lovie Smith returns in 2023.
Brooks, I've kind of downplayed the notion that Deshaun might have a ton of rust, just because I think the Browns will lean on the run game here. I think back to the Jacksonville preseason performance by Deshaun, where he had a rough go of it. Like, it really did not look. He looked rusty, frankly. Am I underselling the rust factor?
I don't think so. It's been a long time since he's been practicing for a while. I agree with you in the sense that they can lean on the run game. And so far, the Texans have proven that whenever a team can establish that, the quarterback has a really easy time. And, you know, Watson, with the talent that he has, I think he's going to have plenty of support in that way. I mean, it's interesting when you look at the Texans, whenever he was playing there, sometimes they had a lack of run game, and he was still able to produce for the team. And then whenever they did have it, I mean, then that's the football excitement that people have with the Browns, the combination of that. Just the way that quarterbacks have been carving up the defense when they are just frankly not good in zone coverage, just a lot of wide open receivers, I think he's going to fit in just fine in this first game.
What we're talking to Brooks Cabina, Houston Chronicle, covers the Houston Texans, joins us every Friday at this time. What percentage of your time covering the Texans right now do you spend actually looking at Bryce Young and CJ Stroud highlights?
Not much. There's a lot just to watch with the Texans. I mean, right now, you think about the draft picks that they have. Just watching Christian Harris improve over the last 3 weeks, I think that's something that's not maybe not talked about enough. I mean, he did struggle coming in. I mean, he was, I think, Pro Football Focus had his missed tackle rate was in the top five amongst linebackers in his first three starts.
Early on, yeah.
He's reduced it from 33% down to 5%, and he's like in the upper quartile of linebackers right now. So it's going to be a big deal whether he plays or not on Sunday. So those are kind of the things that I've been looking at. I mean, Derek Stingley being out in this game also is big. He's going to possibly miss his third game. I say that just because he hasn't practiced all week, and that's the same projection. So, I mean, you look at the number one overall pick right now and the way that the quarterback position is being played, that projects towards a replacement. The number one overall pick, is that worth Bryce Young? Is it worth C.J. Stroud? I mean, the conversation, I mean, we'll have a long time before that, and I'll have a lot more time to dig into it. But, I mean, it just seems interesting that the ebb and flow of the value of the quarterback. I mean, it seemed like 2 months ago everybody was all in on Bryce Young, and then it seems like, oh, now he's tiny. Like, the guy is incredibly talented.
He's really
good. The Texans need a quarterback.
Yeah.
So if you have that opportunity, you got to take it. And, I mean, by the time we get to the draft, I'm sure maybe my own opinion will ebb and flow. But at this point, like, I don't understand why you would go for any other position.
I understand you not spending a lot of time on it right now. When the time comes, are you a mock draft simulation guy?
I hate mock drafts. Just because
you hate mock
drafts? Just because they make me look dumb later.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I can focus
you gotta get
on,
over that.
Look, one team, I can guess what the Texans do, and then I guessed, and I was picking offensive linemen. So then I looked like an idiot afterward because, I mean, all that factored into whether Tytus Howard was going to get his fifth year picked up, and then that's what they did, and then they picked a cornerback. So I didn't, and I covered Derek Stingley. So I don't know. I'm an idiot.
You like being right.
I like being.
You're never going to make it in this business if you like being right all the time.
Well, the hard thing about that, yeah, you're going to get criticized by a lot of people that don't understand the folly of a mock draft and or just talent projection in general. Because everybody, when they first start off on it, they all feel like, oh, no, I see the way things are done. And I remember every time I was right about somebody. So you guys are all idiots.
I got the first two picks right, and then the rest on were, like, wrong completely. Because, you know,
welcome to the club.
The way that I wanted to do it was at least understand how Nick Caserio did a draft board. Yeah. I did a whole project on that. So then, like, I at least understood what he was doing and why they did it. Because then, you know, 10, 11, 12, they all go wide receivers. And I could, like, maybe see how Nick Caserio, even though he didn't say it whenever I asked him later, and all of them are like, dang it. And then they trade back. You know, like, okay, well, that influences things.
Yeah.
And like, what are you planning to do? And now that they have the number one overall pick instead of the number three pick, that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah. No doubt about it. So what else you got going on in the Chronicle? You mentioned your article that you have about the legal reform.
And that article is really good. You laid out kind of what the actual definitions of sexual assault are in a way that I, like, honestly, with all the writing that's been done about this, I think you laid it out better to kind of explain to people how the process actually looked compared to what your conception of what it might look.
Right. What I wanted to accomplish with that is to set an understanding of why things laid out and why things are still ongoing into addressing the issues of sexual assault litigation. And, I mean, in the upcoming legislative session, it's going to be a major topic, and there are a couple of things to kind of point toward. I mean, when you look at the Texas statute, not to get too huge into the weeds, but the way they define sexual assault, there are 14 statutes that say this is what it isn't, and there are, like, occupations in that. And I've talked to several state senators and representatives, and they're all like, it's just, it becomes weedy, you know, there's occupations that people can exploit, like doctors or trainers or whatever, but there's not, like, I wrote it in the story, it's like, there's not NFL quarterback, there's not professional athlete, you can't just keep listing occupations.
Yeah.
And at the end, there's going to be a large discussion upcoming about whether they should flip that entirely and say, this is what consent is, which the NFL was criticized for not really addressing in their own policy, which they kind of do to be more flexible in their own decisions so that they can make decisions however they want, which is going to get pressed by the NFLPA, which happens. So, I mean, all of that's going to come up in this situation again, and it's Sunday's going to ignite a lot of that conversation. One of the main things through this, too, is like it's about what in the situation, the Browns made a choice, and they looked at all of the things that are addressed in that story. They know the relationship between criminal law and civil law, and what whenever someone's indicted or goes through that process, and what that's what that brings, and when it's just civil cases, and the private companies they address things in that way too. So all of it. I mean, it's a 3,000-word story that I pulled an all-nighter writing for, and I don't know if I can really explain it in 5 minutes. But,
well, it's a tease. You can just tease the story and tell people to go click on it. That's all you got to do.
Chronicle.com, and hopefully it brings a lot of clarity to the situation that's going on.
All right, good stuff, and obviously coverage of the game and everything surrounding that from the great Brooks Cabina joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Brooks, get out to practice, man.
Yeah, now they've got it at 9 o'clock. I used to be able to just drive in at 8.
Well, go get some kolaches and sit and reflect for a little while
I think that might be a good idea.
Yes, indeed. All right, Brooks Cabina joining us in studio. Thanks, Brooks. We will talk to you soon. And as always, we enjoy the coverage. Up next, we'll hit headlines. We will circle back to Deshaun, his message to you Houstonians from yesterday. Also a Texans injury report, not just Stingley, other names on there that we will get to. Thursday Night Football, a lot to get to in headlines here on Payne and Pendergast. Stay there.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610, a Football Friday. Browns coming to town on Sunday, noon kick. Seth and I have got pregame Texans countdown presented by Modelo and Bud Light Plaza, 9 o'clock. And Clint Sterner and I will be on the postgame show. In fact, let's do this. Let's get to headlines. Deshaun's got a message for you Houstonians. Headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines. Brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
It is Deshaun Watson's return to NRG Stadium. He met with the media yesterday, was not taking any questions about his legal situation or his counseling that he's undergone, mandated by the league. He was happy to talk about football. He was happy to talk about Houston, in fact. He volunteered this when he was asked about getting back on the field and playing your first game back in Houston, Deshaun.
I'm excited. I'm excited to just play football in general in front of Cleveland Browns fans, but also in front of some of the Houston Texans fans. I respect the whole organization of the Houston Texans. I respect the McNair family. I respect everyone that was there that drafted me in 2017. There's been great memories, fun memories. I still have a home in Houston. I still have friends and family that's still in Houston. The relationships are still there. People, some of the players on the team, I play with are seeing, come up from, maybe practice squad or from injuries. So, I'm excited to get in front of all those fans. I have so much love for the city of Houston and H-Town, and everyone in that city pretty much knows that. So I'm excited to do that. But, the most important thing is, I'm excited to be in front of the Cleveland Browns fans for sure.
Yeah, pay your rent, bro.
His lefties cheese steak restaurants apparently, according to the signs that the landlords put in the window, said that he had not been paying his bills.
Default.
So,
yeah.
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 Jeez, that took a while for me to spit that out.
Sean. Yeah, I was a little concerned. I think
this this might be on you the rest of the show.
That's all right. I think it's your disdain for the delicacy that is the cheesesteak. You are you're not a huge cheesesteak.
No. I like cheesesteaks a lot. Yeah. It just takes a lot to impress me.
Gotcha.
Having dug into the matter a little bit more, I actually now have an appreciation. It's a bun that matters.
It's kind of
like with a po' boy.
Yeah.
Like, with a po' boy, it really is all about the bread that matters. Yes. Not the bread, not the bun.
Yes, yeah. Yes, the bread, absolutely. You're a cheesesteak snob, I guess, is what it would be.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Like, don't tell me, if you're going to make a bar food or like a food stand food a delicacy, then it damn well better be a delicacy. Don't act like every cheesesteak is good or every buffalo wing is good.
Yes.
It's just, you make it genuinely good.
The bread at Deshaun, I had a Lefty's cheesesteak. The bread was a C-.
Was it?
Yeah.
I enjoyed my meals that I had at, out of journalistic duty, I went to eat multiple cheesesteaks at different locations.
Yeah.
And I thought they were all actually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not one bad, but I'm with you. I'm a bread snob.
I'm surprised you couldn't pay the rent, honestly.
I will say this. There was very rarely people there. And this was before, even when he was in good graces in Houston. They're just
I was caught
there.
A weird vibe. I remember I went over once on a rainy day during the car. I was at the car show, and I stopped at Lefty's on my way out, and it felt weird. It wasn't the right ambiance.
No.
Whatever ambiance he was looking for.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't like upbeat. Right, there wasn't a lot of music playing or anything in the background to kind of keep it going. I'm like, no, they may be running numbers out of the back of this place for sure.
It almost, yeah, whenever you're in a restaurant, you're like, how come this is, boy, it seems like not a whole lot of actual business being done here. But that explains perhaps why they shuttered up. Not to mention how many restaurants there are that has awesome food,
yeah,
and can't make it.
Yes.
You know, like, that's what always my reminder about going into the restaurant business with great caution is always like, how many restaurants, having been in Houston since 2002, how many restaurants I absolutely loved that are no longer in existence?
Yes.
You know?
Yep. It's crazy. Here was Deshaun Watson when he was asked, does he appreciate things more? Does he appreciate life as a football player more now that he's had time away from it?
Deshaun, did the time away make you more appreciate who you are and what you have?
I'm always appreciative. I'm always thankful for what I have. My mom went through tongue cancer when I was 14 years old, and she never smoked a day in her life. So I've always been appreciative. I grew up with pretty much nothing, if you know my background story. So everything that, you know, every step I make each and every day, every time I wake up, I thank the Lord because I'm a God-fearing man, and I know who my Lord and Savior is. So that's my main focus each and every day when I wake up. I give him thanks, and I thank everyone around me that helped me get to this moment because I didn't do it by myself.
And his name is Jimmy Haslam. No, I'm just joking, Deshaun. Sorry.
Invoking the cancer of his mother, I feel like I don't want to say it was calculated, but I feel like if it were to be calculated, I think it was probably a good move in terms of humanizing him.
Yeah.
And making him look like somebody who, A, loves his mother, and B, has been through some ordeals with her. And people tend to like people that they can identify with like that.
Solid chess move, I would say, for sure. Overall grade.
He also knew, he knew to point out that she had never smoked a day in her life because some people just have that tendency to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Blame people.
You had it coming. You smoke every day, yeah.
Who the hell's going to... Deshaun Watson's mother deserves no. I feel like he was pretty safe from that. But it was actually a nice touch.
Hey, mom, my apologies. Yeah. You're trending on Twitter right now.
Yeah.
Overall grade for Deshaun yesterday, Seth, in his press conference. How do you feel like he did?
Given what the goal was, I'll give him a gentleman C.
A gentleman C, huh?
It wasn't an aggressive game plan. It would be like going out and, you know, Bill O'Brien would likely think that, hey, we lost the game, but we ran the ball 47 times at 3.2 yards a click. And, hey, if you can just run more than three yards a carry, then you set yourself up for some third and ones, and you'll probably have some good stats. So there you go.
Okay.
This was a successfully executed game plan in which the plan was to get 3.4 yards per carry.
Yes, yeah, I think so too. I look, people aren't coming away all angry at Deshaun today. That unto itself, compared to his previous press conferences, is success.
Well, I feel Kanye like stole a lot of people's capacity for anger and disgust over the last 24 hours.
Okay, so. Yeah, there's that.
There's nothing I love more than Googling, when I wake up Googling whether, like, wait a second, did Hitler actually invent the microphone?
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Now I got to investigate other claims of Hitler inventions, apparently.
Yeah.
Not the highways either.
Right.
My God.
Yeah.
Has he invented nothing?
Mm-hmm. You just, in your analogy you made there.
Sorry, everybody. That's a Kanye. That's a Yeezy. Whatever. Is it Ye or Ye?
I think
become
it's
Ye or Ye.
I think it's Ye. And I'll be honest with you, I was out last night and have no clue what you're talking about.
Okay. Okay. So this is what Kanye did. He managed to offend Alex Jones by saying super nice things and complimentary things about Hitler, and including in them somehow, like in the middle of his flow, stating that Hitler invented the microphone in the highway, which. Neither of which is true, by the way. Neither of which is, just in case. Don't waste your time. This is what I hate most about modern society, is that I hear these statements stated by prominent people that I know are false, and yet there's a part of me that's like, but I gotta check. Is there something I don't know?
I gotta go
like,
check.
Like, what the hell? Yeah.
Your analogy that you just made to Deshaun's press conference just made me realize what the key trait I'm looking for in the new Texans head coach whenever that person gets hired. Maybe this offseason, maybe next offseason, who knows? But the key trait I'm looking for a head coach who doesn't talk to me anymore about trying to set up third and short all the time.
Yeah, because you know what it does? This notion of running the ball 3 yards at a clip,
yeah,
it does get you into third and shorts. Ultimately, those third and shorts fail somewhere along the line.
Yes.
But you get to rack up yardage and claim you're a top 10 rushing offense,
yeah,
and all of that. I was watching a video, Sean, of Deshaun breaking down the zone read to Kurt Warner and Brian Baldinger.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good video. I put it on my YouTube. In there, in two different spots, at one point, Deshaun's talking about when he hands it off to the running back, hey, they'll get 3 or 4 yards and that's fine. And I was like, all right, is it really? And then in another clip, he says, as long as those guys are getting 2 or 3 yards, that's fine. At which point I was like, no, Deshaun, it's not. Like this notion, and he said that. He's like, hey, that keeps getting first downs. You're going to run 2, 3 yards a click. No, it does, but it eventually breaks down. Like you need to be greedy in the run game. The Kubiak, and this is where I'm interested in how it looks in Cleveland, because Deshaun's mindset learned from Bill O'Brien about the run game was just flat out wrong. And what happens is, people fall in love with that notion. It's kind of like falling in love with small ball in baseball. You fall in love with this notion of like, oh, a speedy guy will hit a single, and then somebody else will get another hit, and then the home run hitter comes in, and everybody comes home. It's a grand slam.
Yep.
Like it doesn't always work out that way, obviously. So I think likewise with the run game, there's this. Oh, we'll accept meager gains because those that, hey, 3 yards at a clip ends up at, with close to a first down. So I think that with Shanahan-based offenses, they want to lead the league in big play rushes, like large rush plays.
Yep.
That was something that Alex Gibbs used to talk about when he's offensive line coach with the Texans. You want to lead the league in long gains in the rushing game. And that's something that Deshaun just never understood and grasped because Bill O'Brien wasn't teaching it to him. You could see it. Like I would watch the Texans run game and realize that they were not being coached adequately. So if Stefanski's a good coach, they're going to end up they'll get the best out of Deshaun because Deshaun's going to truly understand the game in a different way.
The Texans have not played well the last couple of weeks at all, especially in the first half of games. We just had Brooks Kabina in studio with us. I thought he laid out where the Browns are defensively this year. They're not a good defense. They're a really bad run defense. I know we've watched a lot of bad run defense this year with the Texans. The Browns are bad too. Brooks used the word winnable for this game. In the NFL, any game, I guess, is winnable. Anything can happen any given Sunday, that sort of thing. I don't know, Seth, like what's your anticipation? So like how winnable is this game for the Texans right now? Because I feel like my optimism about this team winning games like this against superior opponents is it a season low right now?
I think the biggest thing that they could have going for them would be Deshaun making some rusty type errors, and not rusty hardened type errors. He's not going to go out there and just start making wacky comments
it's
about
not
what
a
is
crime.
And isn't legal or anything. Yeah, he's going to get in the he's going to get in the end zone and celebrate with, it's not a crime. I think that he did look awful in Jacksonville when he played in the preseason.
Yep.
Jacksonville, who, by the way, had some pretty funny chants going on in the crowd during the preseason game.
Graphic, I would say,
yeah,
too. Yeah,
preseason's a different deal. As Brooks Cabino was pointing out, Deshaun's had time to practice with the whole squad. The whole squad and their timing is going to be better. There will be some growing pains as he jumps in mid-season.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that because the Texans' run defense, even though it's improved, is still very, very suspect, I think that they're going to be able to very much take it easy on Deshaun. And it's just a matter of whether does he at some point in the game start getting itchy to want to have a big play? You know, to like, okay, I know we're going to come in and play a conservative, but I just got to hit a deep ball. That's the chance for the Texans.
Yeah.
And if they can leap on that somehow, then I think they've got a chance. Because, look, the Texans' defense has not been forcing turnovers. I get frustrated with Lovie continually pointing out one or two turnovers by the offense, but not bringing up that the defense isn't forcing turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, you should be able to win a game if the offense turns the ball over twice.
Yes.
It's like running into an eight-man front. It doesn't prevent you from actually doing well just because the team has an eight-man front. Likewise, if you turn the ball over a couple times, it doesn't excuse you. It's not an impossible task to win a game in which you turn the ball over twice.
The last interception that they forced defensively was in week 8. We are in week 13. So it's been they did not, because that game was the Tennessee game. That was October the 30th, I believe. October the 30th, yes. And today is December this game is December the 4th. Today is December the 2nd. They went the whole month of November without an interception defensively.
Should we do the most depressing gimmicky thing that I was ever involved with? And I was only, you know, as a witness involved in it, barely, I was a bystander, was when David Carr said he wasn't going to cut his hair until we had won 2 games back to back.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, what kind of meager bar is that setting there?
Hold on. And then it's, hold on, you know, not a beard, then, like his hair.
Hair. And then that was the promise. He proceeded to get his hair coiffed.
Yep.
Like, there was no way. He definitely had it styled somewhere along the way. And ultimately, we won 2 games back-to-back, and he cut his hair. You know, as opposed to some people, like, hey, I'm cutting my hair until we win a playoff game or go to the championship game or something like that. No, ours was to win 2 games back-to-back.
Oh, my God. And yeah. Growing out his hair. I'll say this. I thought David Carr looked good when he grew his hair out. I am going to, until we win 2 games in a row, I am going to do this thing that a lot of ladies will probably actually really like, me growing my hair.
Yeah. I'm going to look like Fabio.
Yeah.
But, okay, so should I not shave my beard until the Texans get an interception?
Yes, of course.
Because there's a good chance. I would gladly, see, that's like a David Carr thing. Like, I'd gladly pull that off.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a big badass beard. But I'm gonna get it groomed along the way.
But you should have to grow it and not groom it. Like you, because if they go the rest of the season without an interception, you all of a sudden turn into Dallas Keuchel this offseason.
Well, I gotta go through July.
Yeah.
And I gotta go through training camp with a beard.
Are you up for this?
No, I'm not up for
this.
Okay.
All right. That was fun while it lasted.
Those are the days. Remember back when I had the beard challenge going? I miss those days.
Thursday night. Hey, by the way, Texans update on injuries. Stingley out with the hamstring yesterday. Kenyon Green out with an illness. It's not can't block anybody-itis, Texter, from before.
As far as Derek Stingley, remember when people were talking about his injury troubles and issues being overblown and nothing to see here?
Right.
Okay. All right, okay, I'll just keep saying it, I guess. And nothing to see here, just a young man in the prime of his life who had all kinds of excuses made for him for having disappointing performances after his freshman season at LSU, chief amongst them. Well, he was injured a lot, and he also got sick, that's why. So now he's injured again, so here we go. All right, great.
NBD, no big deal.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Every time he gets injured, I'm going to be like, stop saying he's injured. He's not injured. It's all an illusion. It's all a simulation.
You're listening to KILT and KILT HD2 and Odyssey Station. Thursday night football last night, the Buffalo Bills have taken a half-game lead in the AFC East, only because they've played before everybody else this weekend. Nevertheless, 24-10 over the New England Patriots. I did not get to see this game, Seth. I know you got to see at least parts of it. It sounded like Mac Jones pitched a tennis boy hissy fit at some point in this game.
Yes. Well, I mean, Matt Patricia at times in this game, you know, when they're down by multiple scores, is running this, hey, let's get two chunks of yards at a time. Chunks. We'll get it in chunks. 2-3 yards at a time. He was seen on the sideline saying, Mac Jones was seen on the sideline saying, throw the bleeping ball. And then it was, people couldn't really lip read the something game sucks. People thought it was either quick game or run game. In the press conference afterwards, he said that he was talking about how he felt like they needed to get yardage in bigger chunks. I don't know. I went back and did like a slow motion lip reading, and I thought he said run game. I think he maybe just wanted to, in the post game, he didn't want to the offensive line or running backs to get upset with him. So, but it was a very Tom Brady-like, also maybe like a John McEnroe tennis brat-like hissy fit on the sidelines. And it made me happy because whatever the hell they're doing in New England right now in this experiment with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge as the offensive play callers and half of Bill Belichick's family manning the defensive sideline.
Yeah.
It's just turned into a mom and pop shop over there. It's awesome. Much like the textile industry in New England, the New England Patriots have basically been overtaken and rendered obsolete by not advancing with the times.
I love this little street in Foxborough where they have all these mom and pop businesses. There's a cobbler over here. There's a bakery. Look at, there's a football team over
an old-fashioned football team.
They need to change the fonts on everything at Gillette Stadium to like that old colonial like calligraphy font. And everything's carved in wood. Yes. That'd be great.
Yeah, they got a winning record, though.
Yeah, I guess so. I reckon.
Josh McDaniels will probably be back next year, and then him and Belichick will coach three more Super Bowls.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.